Today's gospel situates us back in the room with Jesus and the disciples on Holy Thursday. Why did the church select this reading? After all, Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection have passed. Why does the church ask us to revisit those sad days so soon? It's all part of the so what. By that I mean, yes, Jesus came, taught, suffered, died, and rose. But so what, we might say? What's the message for us? Simply put, time in lives didn't end with Jesus' resurrection. The disciples, and by extension us, need to put the lessons learned into action for Jesus' mission to be finally complete. So we find ourselves in that upper room with the Lord. Judas has just left to betray Jesus. And let's try to remember or try to imagine what our Savior is feeling. He knows where Judas is heading. He knows what lies ahead. He knows that his disciples will be feeling bereft. He knows, for that matter, that one of them will record the events of that evening for us to ponder this morning. He knows that he has this one last pre-resurrection time alone with his followers and a final opportunity to teach them. So what does he say? In today's reading, merely, I give you a new command. As I have loved you, love one another. That's it. Nothing more. But when we consider it, is there really anything more that should be said? His healing the sick, nothing but love. His casting out demons, love. Teaching us how and when to pray, love. The Sermon on the Mount, love. His upcoming passion, death, and resurrection, love once again. Let's linger over that word love. What do you love? I love my wife. We were married in this place 43 years ago, May 5th. Guys, that's the key to remembering your anniversary. Tie it to some holiday like Cinco de Mayo. I love my kids. I love visiting our grandchildren. I love coming home from visiting our grandchildren. I love the church I decided to enter 42 years ago. I love being one of Christ's deacons. I love my closest friends. I love coffee on the porch every morning of every day. I love sleeping on a summer night with the window open and having the rain fall on me. But that's a little weird, so let's just hold that between ourselves. I love reading and taking long walks. I can definitely, confidently say that you have a list of your own. We all do. But we need to consider that English, in some ways, is an impoverished language. I have just used one word, love, to apply to many different situations. Despite knowing that my intensity, depth, and nature of feeling is different for each one of us. That isn't the case in Greek, the language John spoke and wrote in. Jesus is talking about agape here, the ultimate love, a selfless, transcendent love. After all, he did give his life for us. That's the so what in this gospel that we are called to emulate today, tomorrow, and each day for the rest of our lives. But as is usually the case with Jesus' teaching, it's easy to say we will follow it. But how do we accomplish this enormous task? As always, sacred scripture and church teaching marks the path for us to follow, which means we have to become familiar with both. When people come for spiritual direction, I usually include two questions in our beginning meetings or beginning conversations. The first is, how would you describe your prayer life? And the second is, how would you describe your interaction with the Bible? That means one concrete act we can commit to is daily prayer. That includes ritual or liturgical prayer, like the Mass, the Liturgy of the Hours, or praying the Rosary or Chaplet of Divine Mercy, or keeping novenas, or any one of a multitude of other formal prayers. It can also mean just sitting quietly with God, waiting for Him to speak, or just enjoying each other's presence. Think about it. Consider someone you love or deeply care for. Aren't there times when you just sit with each other in silence, just relishing being alone with each other? We can enjoy that experience too with God. As to the Bible, reading sacred scripture daily supplements and enriches our prayer life. St. Francis de Sales and other saints throughout the centuries have said that prayer is talking to God, and reading scripture is God speaking with us. Studying the Word opens another channel of communication for us to hear God. Getting back to the gospel for today, it's important to note that Jesus said, love each other rather than love yourself. The point is, we need others to live complete, authentic Christian lives. Prayer and Bible study is just part of a path that we don't walk alone. That's why coming to Mass with a full, conscious, and active participation, as the Sacrosanctum Concilium document from Vatican II says, is critical. Believe it or not, the truthfulness of that need for community is widely known in the secular world. For example, group therapy can be much more effective than individual psychotherapy, because we learn from each other, support each other, share similar victories and defeats with each other. And that gives us the strength to get through another day. And it's the same for us in our parish community. Love one another as I have loved you, Jesus said. Let's examine one person who heard the Lord utter those words. John. He recorded the words as we heard them today. He preached the same message in each of his three letters. And as a matter of fact, in the first two, John explicitly said, you've had the commandment from the beginning, that is the beginning of the church. Love one another. Tradition tells us that an extremely old John, he lived until about 100 AD, was going to preach at a service, what we would later call a Mass. Put yourselves there. Imagine this was the man who not only met Jesus, but walked with and learned from Jesus for 3 years, who was there at the crucifixion. And on Easter morning, Jesus appeared to him from rising from the dead. The man who cared for the Blessed Mother until her Assumption, it is he who's going to speak. Now, imagine yourself as John. What can you say that in a brief homily that encapsulates all of Jesus' teaching? What did he say? Just children. Love each other. Let's do that.